Like most folks, I watched the news with horror. The fires that ravaged California were beyond comprehension. Tens of thousands of acres charred, more than 1,000 homes destroyed, several deaths, hundreds of thousands of people evacuated. It's difficult to conceive of such destruction, and to think that some of those fires were intentionally set is sickening. I was disturbed one day when driving in my car, and I heard an AM talk show host explain how much better the evacuation was going in California when compared to New Orleans. He spoke about how the people in California were better behaved, better prepared, more self-reliant than those in New Orleans. There was a hint of racism. But just like any good talk show host, he never really said what he meant. He just suggested, implied, created the impression, but never took full responsibility. It's that type of talk that erodes our society. It divides people in our nation. Regrettably, it seems today that so many figures in the media and even in politics are better at dividing than they are at uniting. I have to say, I wasn't really thinking about who was better, those in California or those in New Orleans. All I could think about was, what would I have taken with me if I was forced to leave my home? You see, one morning on the news, there was a couple standing in front of what had been their home. It was now a pile of smoldering embers, only a chimney left to provide a point of reference. The woman spoke about having to leave their house quickly, and there was little time to grab anything before the fires engulfed their home. Asked by one of the reporters for any advice she would give others, she said, "Have what you want to take with you packed and by the door, ready to carry out of your home as you leave, not knowing if you're going to return to a home intact or in rubble." So that night I began to wander through my own home, wondering what I would take with me. What was so significant that I'd have it ready if I ever needed to evacuate? Of course, there were the obvious things, papers and documents that I would take. But I was thinking more about my possessions, those items accumulated over a lifetime, things that I've bought, gifts given to me by family and friends, souvenirs from my travels, items handed down from prior generations. I once read that the average three-bedroom home contains about 350,000 items. At first, I thought this was ridiculous. No way, not in my house. And then I stopped being so defensive and started estimating everything in my home. Dishes, clothes, pictures, books, knickknacks, things on shelves and things hidden in cabinets, things in the basement rarely touched, and things that I used every day. It wasn't long before I came to accept that 350,000 items was closer to the truth than I might care to admit. As I eyed what was in my home, while there were many items that I had a sentimental attachment to, there were really many more things that really didn't matter to me. I should admit that I have more than I need. And there were items in my closets and in my drawers that if by magic they were spirited out in the middle of the night, I would never miss them because I would never have known that they were gone. Because I don't wear them, and I don't use them. It's only when I'm trying to declutter that I think that an old item not used for years might someday have value. So I keep it for another year untouched, but at least it's there, just in case. But back to the things I would take with me. The items that I really want were few and far between. They were irreplaceable because they could not be repurchased at the mall or at the store. They were precious reminders of the people whose lives were intertwined with mine and the moments we had shared. At that moment, I came to know that it wasn't the item itself that was of value, but what it awakened in me, memories that I will always carry. Hoping all in California farewell, I'm Robert Barr, Rabbi of Congregation Beth Adam. Thanks for listening.